Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin got into some tense exchanges with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Senator John Kerry this week over the Benghazi attack, and we'll discuss both of them coming up in this edition of the Week in Review. Plus, the Pentagon lifts the ban on women in combat, and a new bill to ban assault weapons and ammunition is introduced. We'll also talk about the debate over mining legislation heating up in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us for this Week in Review on this Friday, January 25th. Every Friday at this time, we invite two guests coming from different perspectives to talk about the top political news of the week, and we invite your input, too. You can comment on the stories we are discussing or bring up a new topic that matters to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Today we have with us Ed Garvey and David Blaska. David Blaska is a former Dane County supervisor. His Blaska's blog can be found at ibmadison.com. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Joy.
And also with us, Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil and Associates and publisher of fightingbob.com. Hello, Ed.
Good morning. Good to see you, Joy.
Well, let's start with what happened at the beginning of the week, President Obama's inauguration on Monday on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, when he laid out what was called a progressive vision for his second term. Let's play an excerpt from his speech. This is an excerpt that some people say was the most important paragraph of his inauguration speech. It's a little bit long, a little bit more than a minute, so hang on.
It is now our generation's task to carry on what those pioneers began. For our journey is not complete until our wives, our mothers, and daughters can earn a living equal to their efforts. Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. For if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well. Our journey is not complete until no citizen is forced to wait for hours to exercise the right to vote. Our journey is not complete until we find a better way to welcome the striving, hopeful immigrants who still see America as a land of opportunity. Until bright young students and engineers are enlisted in our workforce rather than expelled from our country. Our journey is not complete until all our children, from the streets of Detroit to the hills of Appalachia to the quiet lanes of Newtown, know that they are cared for and cherished and always safe from harm.
President Obama giving his inauguration speech talking about voting rights and women's rights and gay rights and immigrant rights and, I guess, the right to not be shot. Ed, what did you think of what he had to say?
I thought it was one of the great speeches I've ever heard. He was hitting on all cylinders, hit the right targets. He became a progressive in his speech, or he gave life to the progressive movement. It could not have been any better.
What did you think, David?
Well, boy, this is the speech that I think Bobby Kennedy would have given if he had been, you know, hadn't been assassinated. I thought I was at the San Francisco convention of the Democrats. He gave, I think, maybe one throwaway sentence to the economy, which can fund all of these things. We've already, you know, we're already seeing tax increases from him. So I was not enthused.
Really?
These are, it's going to be a long 4 years. That's all I can say, Joy.
Well, what's your,
it really does.
What's your, out of those different issues that he ticked off there, yeah. What's of most concern to you?
Well, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot given to foreign affairs either. Some wag said that there should have been a ceremonial drone flyover, you know, kind of to cap off his thing. Voter ID, I think that's what he's talking about. Gay rights, I guess he's talking about gay marriage.
Yeah.
I guess that's probably what he's talking about, which is a divisive issue. And, equal pay, I think that's been settled. Immigrants, that's still an issue. Maybe to it rebounds to the Democrats' advantage. But he didn't talk about the deficit. He didn't talk about reforming government, per se. And certainly, I guess it's okay to mention Newtown, but that's going to be contentious, too, as to what the solution to that is. So, I mean, it was not an uplifting speech from my standpoint.
But Ed, it was uplifting to you, but can President Obama really get anything done in these areas with the Congress that he works with?
Well, sometimes you just have to break the barrier before you can get anywhere. For example, climate change. The president spent a lot of time on climate change. And can he get something passed right away? I don't know. But if you look at these Republicans and ask them, do they have any children or grandchildren, or are they just here on this earth as robots? If you're concerned about the future, you have to be concerned about climate change. And yet we still have Republican leaders in Congress who doubt that it exists. I mean, it's sort of like, well, who know? He also talked about peace, which is disturbing, I think, to David and other Republicans. Instead of the bellicose speeches of the past, he talked about turning enemies today into friends in the future, as we did after World War II. So, I mean, the speech hit all the right targets. No, it was not the State of the Union address. We'll have more good news for David then. In fact, I'm going to order a special copy for you.
But, you know, Joy, it is interesting. I mean, we have a contrast between, and God bless the federal system of government that we have. We have a contrast between Washington and Madison, between Wisconsin and the federal government. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we'll get to these subjects later probably, but we've got a governor that is reforming government, that is reducing taxes, that is trying to stir the economy beyond just, you know, trying to find shovel-ready projects that turn out not to be shovel-ready. So, and he didn't, you know, talk about deniers. I mean, I don't deny that the climate's changing, Ed, but I guess then what legislation do you pass? The legislation that you would pass to change the climate would make Obamacare look like child's play. It would regulate every faction of life, which, of course, is the ultimate goal. Talking about children and grandchildren, Ed, where is the reform of Social Security? Where is the reform of Medicare and Medicaid and all those?
You don't need a reform of Social Security and Medicare. They're perfectly fine. They haven't contributed to the debt. And this is the promise made to people now my age who worked all their lives to put money into the system. And what I thought was wonderful about Obama's speech was he made it clear that those top three are off the table.
Right, and that's going to be very interesting. That's why I say, Joy, because at least for the next 2 years, you've got a divided government in Washington. You've got a House of Representatives with a 33 vote Republican majority. That's much different. And it has been said that this speech was probably the most liberal since FDR in 1936. But FDR in 1936 won 46 out of the 48 states, whereas Barack Obama lost 24 states. And also FDR had a 4-1 majority in the House, and Barack Obama has a deficit.
Let's take a call from, Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies, gentlemen. I guess with people that we discussed the speech, and again, most of the people I talked with, you know, do support our president, we were kind of concerned and kind of befuddled by the remark regarding immigration, and you know, we didn't understand if he was talking about illegal immigration or if he was talking about, you know, quote unquote legal, and then other discussions. Once you get to it, I guess you kind of alluded to it already. As far as spending cuts, we haven't heard any major Republicans say what it is they want to cut. So I guess we've got some confusion. But, no, overall, I think the president's speech was fantastic, and that seems to be the general consensus among the factories and warehouses that I go to in Wisconsin and Illinois daily.
All right. So, thanks very much, Tom. Was it unclear to you, Ed, what the president was saying when he was talking about immigration?
Well, I'm sure that the details are going to have to come out in the State of the Union. But what he was saying was that we have all these illegals who are here who still have the dream of becoming American citizens. And all of a sudden, the Republicans have figured out that they're not going to win any more elections if they don't do something. And so suddenly we have some discussion on the Republican side. Maybe we should do something about immigration. So I think, you know, we'll have to wait and see what the details are going to be. But I think there's going to be a process by which those who are here illegally can apply and become citizens.
Right, the so-called pathway to citizenship, right. The comprehensive immigration reform. There is also going to be the Dream Act that
right.
That allows the children of illegal immigrants, or if they came to this country as children, to stay in the country.
You know, one of the things that hits me is that I was trying to imagine if this had been Romney, what would his speech have been? I mean, if you think of his whole campaign, I don't know of any issues that he would try to express in an inaugural speech that would inspire people to action. But in any event, I won't pick on you too much, David.
Yeah. Well, the caller said he doesn't know exactly what Republicans want to do with regards to spending, David.
Well, they don't either, so it's all right.
So, David, do the Republicans have a plan? What do Republicans want to cut?
Well, I think what we need to do is, let's just go back to Social Security and whatnot. We need to have, right now we've got, and I'm part of it, the baby boom. It's a huge bulge going through. We've got, and we're living longer. I think the program was meant to offer a floor on it and not to pay Dave Blaska's greens fees on the golf course. But that's what it's doing right now.
You know, Congress agreed this week temporarily to extend.
But there's all kinds of others. I mean, you know, that's the tough one.
The green fees?
You have to say, first of all, you're going to limit what you're going to spend, and then you cut. And that's I think, what Paul Ryan has offered a program to do that.
Congress did vote to extend that deadline for raising the debt ceiling a couple of months down the road. Was that, David, the right thing to do, to postpone that fight over the debt ceiling?
Well, you know, Ed, you got to go ahead.
I'm anxious to hear your answer.
No, you know, there's two schools of thought on that. I mean, I'm just trying to be fair and somewhat informative. I mean, there's two schools of thought. One is you shut down the government, and you know, that's a hard line. Maybe the Rand Paul position. The other Paul Ryan thing is, you know, we've got to pay our debts. We've got to, actually, what this is to allow us to borrow. It raises the borrowing limit. It's what it is, so we can borrow more money from China to pay our bills.
Yeah, with that vote, they're also requiring both houses of Congress to pass a budget by that time, or members of Congress will not get paid.
Right.
Is that a good idea, Ed?
Well, you know, there ought to be some consequence for not taking action, but if you take a look at the Republican performance over the four-year period, using extraordinarily high number of filibusters to defeat legislation, they shouldn't get paid at all. In fact, they ought to be returned.
Well, let me just add that you never miss a chance to make a wonderful point, even though it's humorous, not to be taken seriously. the fact of the matter is the United States Senate hasn't passed a budget since April of 2009. We're going on 4 years now, and it's been controlled by the Democrats for all that time. So there's some non-performance issues there. Joy, I like the idea. It probably violates the 27th Amendment to the Constitution, which basically says the Congress can't change its pay in the Congress that it sits.
And the 14th Amendment, it says they have to pay your debts. They have to pay our bills.
The filibuster, you brought up the filibuster, Ed. There was an agreement to some modest filibuster reforms, I think, between Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. Not at all what most Democrats wanted to see. What's wrong with this reform that they came, this agreement that came to yesterday?
Well, we're still in the position where you need 60 votes to pass anything, so long as somebody wants to filibuster it. And so Bernie Sanders and Tom Harkin and people that I align with were furious at Harry Reid, who sort of took it upon himself to make a deal with the Republicans that would take away the power of the majority to actually enact something. I mean, this is absurd, where you have people elected to the Senate and the House, and they could never get anything enacted because the Republicans have just said, no, you have to have 60 votes before you can do anything. And it's very rare that you can get 60 votes to do anything. So I think Harry Reid sold out. I hope that he gets removed as majority leader or minority leader. I guess he's majority leader in the Senate. It was a wonderful opportunity that just went right out to sea.
Well, so much for bipartisan cooperation. I mean, I think we're going to need some of that. I mean, if you're going to ask Republicans, Ed, to bridge the chasm, then I think that it would behoove the Democrats to do the same.
We need to move to another issue, which is going to be quite contentious. Yesterday, Senator Dianne Feinstein reintroduced an assault weapons ban and the banning of these ammunition magazines that have more than 10 rounds. Is this going anywhere, David?
Well, you know, my hero Ronald Reagan once said, don't just do something, stand there. And Ed was talking about the filibuster, and as prelude to the answering your question, Joy, you know, the founders set up the federal government to be very slow to act. There's so many, it's got to pass the House, it's got to pass the Senate, it's got to be a filibuster, it could be vetoed, da-da-da. So this is one of those cases where I think political types feel, I've got to do something. This so-called assault weapon is, to be honest, a kind of a tricked-up semi-automatic rifle. It's semi-automatic. It's not an automatic rifle. Of all the murders committed in the United States, 2.6% are committed by a long gun, with a long gun, I should say. Not, they're committed by a bad actor, with using a long gun, either a rifle or a shotgun, of which the so-called assault weapon, snarky quote marks above assault weapons, are part of the family of long guns.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a deer hunter?
No, I'm not. I'm a shooter, though.
What do you hunt, if you hunt at all?
Well, I have when I grew up on the farm, we hunted grouse and whatnot. I don't have a particular need or want for those weapons. I'm only saying this, Ed, and maybe they will be. Maybe we'll have the 10 round limit on magazines. I will tell you this: a rather well equipped handyman with a nice metalworking shop can make those. I mean, those are no brainers. You just you get one that exists, and you can. So that's not the issue either. I don't think. I don't like particularly. I have friends who love them and have them, and I've gone out shooting with them. I don't like them. I don't like the way they look. I like revolvers, but I'm trying to say to you, Ed, and to the audience, I guess, is we could pass this thing. And maybe it will pass, but it won't do any good. Let's understand that.
Why?
You'll feel better.
Because somebody can change the makeup of the weapon?
Well,
I mean, the laws don't matter. People just
disregard
them?
First of all, the existing guns will be grandfathered in. They don't want to, I mean, not even Dianne Feinstein, maybe the Bob group do want to confiscate guns, but there are several million of these already in existence. So, and they'll be grandfathered in. So I'm just saying that I don't particularly see the need for them. On the other hand, I don't particularly see the need for fast speedboats either.
Well,
I mean, I don't. I just don't, you know.
Why should we ban these, Ed?
Well, the fact is that there are people who are mentally ill who are, you might take one of these automatic weapons, assault weapons that are made only to kill people, not to hunt. I could come into a school as they did in Connecticut. And in a space of just a few seconds could kill 10, 15, 20 children or teachers or others. Remember, there was one in Waukesha County where they had church services at the Marriott Hotel, and somebody came in, and I think within 10 seconds he shot 9 people. And the answer from the DA was that everybody should have been armed going to church, which I thought was really remarkable. What we're trying to do is to make sure that anybody who has this kind of a weapon, there's a background check, and I think it's 91% of the people now support that idea of a serious background check with no loopholes to make sure that somebody is not going to use this weapon on people.
I've had a background check. I mean, I don't know if you're
Well, then they obviously firearm. Don't work.
Yeah, right. I walked into that one. That was good. Out of the park. The bases are cleared. But here's another part of it is the so-called gun show loophole. Now, I'll admit here on statewide radio that I purchased a handgun from a friend of mine. I don't know how that would work. Do they give you an 800 number? I have seen at licensed, federally licensed gun dealers where they make the phone call and they report in, da-da-da. And then I got to wait 48 hours. And I came back later on and I said, you know what, I've cooled down quite a bit, but I still want that gun.
Yikes.
You know, it's cooling off. But how, you know, I'm only saying this, Ed. If you want to have this national registry, and yeah, somehow I did pass the background check. So let's talk Adam Lanza. He never bought a gun in his life. He never purchased a weapon in his life. And he got it from his mother, who apparently was sane. Maybe a little careless, unfortunately.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, don't, if you have a trouble, son. On the other hand, I guess, you know, the guy was never violent before. He never did anything that was, you know, it was weird and odd and a trouble, but not violent. So how do you have this national registry? In fact, you know, being...
Well, you take one instance and it's
and someone's
it's
acting a little strange or a little antisocial, that was me in high school. You know?
I believe that.
Yeah. No, I'm doing it on radio.
When all is said and done, Ed, from the Congress that we have, what do you think is going to happen when it comes to the proposed assault weapons ban?
The Congress is really a house of ill repute. I mean, the amount of money that is poured into these campaigns would suggest that nothing's going to happen. The gun manufacturers are making millions and millions of dollars selling these guns. The NRA is, of course, out there scaring everybody that Barack Obama is going to knock on their back door and demand their guns. So I think something's going to pass. My guess is the background check will pass. I think they will limit the magazines to 10 shots that, or 10 bullets that Dianne Feinstein was requesting. And we've at least started the debate on the whole question of assault weapons. You know, in the old days, they had armories, where if you had a gun, you put it in the armory. If you checked it out, then you were on military maneuvers or whatever. Now, everybody keeps them in their home as if there's a right to have a gun sitting next to your coffee table.
What old days are this? Are you talking about it? I mean, it's not worth debating over. But,
right. Yeah. We actually do have to move on. Yeah. So we'll pick up this debate at another time.
All right, I'll withdraw it.
coming up on the Week in Review, we are going to discuss Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's Benghazi testimony and Senator John Kerry's confirmation hearing for his nomination to be the next Secretary of State. Both hearings featured some tense exchanges with Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. We'll get our guests to weigh in on both, and you can weigh in too. You can talk about those hearings or any other issues in the news this week at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up this afternoon, you can also talk about the news of the week during your views on the news. Call in after 4 and talk about what story you think was the most significant this week. Your views on the news every Friday after 4. We have our Week in Review every Friday after 8. Today we are talking with Ed Garvey, who is senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil and Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com, and David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor and blogger. And we welcome your input on the news of the week at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And before we talk about Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Ron Johnson, we have a caller who has an issue he wants to bring up. Bob in River Falls. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Oh, I just wanted to bring up something.
Please bring up the issue that you wanted to talk about, Bob.
Oh, okay. What I wanted to bring up is there's been some, Ed, you probably know about this, there's been discussion especially on, like, MSNBC that I've seen on different programs there about Republican plans to reallocate the Electoral College vote so that they could do it by congressional districts, because through redistricting, even though they got less votes, say, in Wisconsin, they can still control the state legislature because they're able to redistrict in their favor and de-enfranchise the majority's will, and they can and nullify it that way. So what the idea is that in some of the blue states that the Republicans have been losing, like Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, maybe even Wisconsin, they might decide to say, hey, let's do the same thing here and screw the Democrats out of the election so they can continue to, with their policies that are unpopular but still win the elections by cheating because they can't do it through legitimate. I
mean, we get you, Bob. So is that cheating, David Blasko? What's this? It's called Operation Red Map. What's going on here?
Gee, I don't know how that secret got out. Some states do this already. Just a little history. I think states determine how they're going to apportion their electors. And I think Nebraska does this already, and I think one other state.
Maine, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right, Maine. So the idea here is, I mean, let's just take California. I think they must have something like 48 electoral votes, and there could be a one-vote difference between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and yet 48 electoral votes go to Barack Obama, let's say. So it's a little issue of fairness. On the other hand, it can work the other way, too. And just, you know, not to steal your thunder, Ed, but one reason that Wisconsin is somewhat attractive is that it's in play. And if it went 6-4, we have 10, is that correct? Yes, we have 10 electoral votes. If it went 6-4, people say, well, I don't know if it's worth going to Wisconsin. So we attract a lot of attention from presidential candidates because they get 10, not 6
or 4. You have a problem with changing the way the electoral votes are distributed in a state, Ed?
Well, we've been doing it this way for a couple hundred years where the winner take all state by state. I think there is an argument to be made that they could, within the Constitution, they can change the way the votes are allocated. But there are all sorts of problems here, and I think it would come back to bite everybody if they try to do it. The thing starts with the gerrymandering that was present as they redistricted following the census. And it was a shock for us to see that I think Democrats got like a million more votes for people who are running for the House of Representatives than Republicans, and yet under the current system that under the system that they're advocating in Virginia, and the Republicans are saying, we can't win the old way because we can't get women, we can't get Hispanics, we can't get blacks, we can't get gays, we can't get all these groups. And so if we can't win by appealing to our platform, let's try and change it so we'll just have it by congressional district. And therefore, we can pick out those congressional districts that might well be different for the Republican than, say, those who are for Obama.
Well, let's move on to our issue that we said we'd be talking about. Let's listen to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson asking Secretary of State Hillary Clinton why the administration at first said the Benghazi attack last summer that killed four Americans, including the ambassador, was linked to protests. Let's take a listen to this exchange.
We were misled that there was supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
So how'd she do with that answer, Ed, first?
Well, I think she did fine. And the fact is that this is an issue that the Tea Party types and the Fox News have tried to gin up, and it's just not going to go anywhere. And Ron Johnson needs a better staff because he really wasn't prepared to take on Hillary Clinton or John Kerry.
Your thoughts, David?
Well, I think that Hillary Clinton got that phrase from her husband, Bill. Bill, after Monica, he says, well, what difference at this point does that make? So,
oh, come on.
Well, you know, what difference does it make a hanging chads at this point or Osama bin Laden? What difference does it make? What kind of answer is that? I mean, that's at all purpose. But, husband coming home late at night with the wife waiting for the roller pin, you know, or the lipstick on the collar thing. At this point, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. And Ed, at least, you know, what we want our Senate to do is ask tough questions.
And they do.
And that was a tough question, and she didn't answer it. She used anger, which is fine. I understand.
She didn't use anger. She was angry.
Raise the volume instead of providing an answer. And the fact of the matter is, Ed, you can't. This is a sorry point of our
talk show. This is all about Sunday talk shows.
Of our international relations. They have an ambassador. The real issue is an ambassador that's basically pleading for his life, who wanted to be in Libya, who enjoyed the culture and tried to do some good there, basically saying, help me, the situation is deteriorating. And that doesn't get to the top. Well, what kind of management system is that, Ed?
Well, I'll tell you what. When the Congress turns down the money that was requested for security for our ambassadors and our missions, and then they turn around and there's a riot that occurs and four Americans are killed, then they say, well, this is Hillary Clinton's fault, or this is Barack Obama's fault. It's a shared responsibility.
Is that what Hillary was saying? Is, gee, I'd like to help you out there in Benghazi, but we just don't have the money. Is that what the answer is?
Ed, why doesn't Hillary Clinton say Susan Rice had the wrong story from the intelligence at the
Susan
time?
Susan Rice has already said that.
Yeah, and so what is, or directly answer the, did the administration deliberately mislead the public?
Well, I think in the briefing that John Kerry talked about, they explained all of the things that were happening, and Ron Johnson didn't bother to go to the hearing. Didn't bother to go and even hear what the facts were. I mean, so what I think Hillary Clinton was angry about is the cheap shots from Ron Johnson, who was trying to make an issue where an issue doesn't exist. It was really an issue raised because a member of the administration spoke on Sunday talk shows. That's not the stuff of serious legislation.
Well, David, and then on the other hand, instead of pressing this issue over the initial claims that the attack sprung out of the protests, we all know it was a planned terrorist attack now. So what is the point of pushing this question? Is it,
carefully,
why,
maybe unstable.
Why would the White House deliberately mislead?
Well, I think probably because they tried to maintain that it was a spontaneous
event. Why would they want to maintain that?
Because they would say, we didn't see it coming. Gee whiz, this happened. All of a sudden, there's this video that no one heard about, and we haven't heard about it since. Supposedly, this video had inflamed the Arab street. There's a spontaneous demonstration that came out of nowhere. No. The situation was unstable there. Should have known with Gaddafi gone, bad as he was, at least he had an iron rule. The situation was chaotic, and the ambassador was asking for help. And that's what they were covering up. The fact of the matter is that they left him unprotected, and there was a vacuum there that resulted in death.
Do you think, Ed, that this testimony that Hillary Clinton gave yesterday is going to help or hurt her if she decides to run for president?
People are so disgusted with the Congress. I mean, they're down around the used car salesman in terms of acceptability. I think it's 9% approval rating. That I think most Americans stood up and cheered when somebody like Hillary Clinton took on a know-nothing like Ron Johnson and said, listen to the facts. And so then Ron Johnson, who tries to explain himself after the hearing, comes back the next day for more. He tries to pick on John Kerry. And if it were a prize fight, they would have called it in the second round.
Let's take a listen to that clip. This is, again, from the confirmation hearing for Senator John Kerry, who is the nominee for Secretary of State now.
Will you work with me then on an ongoing basis then, so we can get that behind us, so we can find out what actually happened, and then we can move beyond that? I mean, can you just make that commitment to me?
Well, I think, Senator, in all fairness, I think we do know what happened. I think that it is very clear. Were you at the briefing with the tapes?
No.
Well, there was a briefing with tapes, which we all saw, those of us who went to it, which made it crystal clear.
So is this, David, embarrassing for Ron Johnson?
Well, my understanding is, and I'm not certain about this, that he simply wasn't on that committee at that time. People get reassigned. Neither was... You do your committee work if you've ever.
Well, then you
dealt
keep your mouth shut.
No, you can ask questions.
Oh, of course you can.
And he asked the question.
He's now become the joke of late night TV. I mean, people were making fun of him because he really got knocked out by John Kerry. I mean, if you're going to make this kind of a statement and accuse Hillary Clinton of things and accuse the administration, then you at least go to the briefings. If you don't go to the briefings, then maybe you raise questions rather than accusations. But Ron Johnson did neither, and I think he's an embarrassment.
And you think he's improving his image among Wisconsinites, David?
Well, I think he's been very active. I think he's been a budget fiscal hawk. But it's interesting. We have a state that is, you know, purple, I guess. It's 2 years ago, Ron Johnson gets elected. He's Tea Party. And then just last fall, we elect Tammy Baldwin, who could well be the most liberal member of the Senate. So I don't know, Joy. I don't know.
Well, pack your bags.
Yeah, I don't know what to think.
David, there's no doubt that Kerry's going to be confirmed as Secretary of State, do you think?
I think that's probably true. I don't have a pipeline, but he's a fellow senator. I think, you know, Chuck Hagel supposedly is in more trouble due to the Israel issue. But, yeah, he'll get confirmed.
You agree, Ed?
Oh, he's going to be confirmed unanimously. Listening to John McCain and others praising Kerry, I don't think there's ever been a better introduction to someone to the Senate for confirmation purposes than he received.
Well, Hillary Clinton has not said for sure that she is going to run for president in 2016. But Vice President Joe Biden was also asked that this week. He was asked in an interview if he's going to run for president in 2016. He said that he didn't know, he wasn't ruling it out, but, you know, he wasn't sure. He says, I don't think Hillary Clinton's sure either. So do you think he wants to run it?
Well, I think he probably does. Most of the people who are in the Senate get that close to the White House think that they could do a better job if they were in there. Chris Christie would like to run. Maybe Chris Christie would run as a Democrat, I mean, because he certainly doesn't take the position of the Republican Party.
I'm sure the teachers' union will endorse him.
Do you think Hillary's going to run, Ed?
I think so.
Yeah.
She'll be 69, though. I'm not, you know, that was supposedly too old for Ronald Reagan, so, I mean, that's a factor.
Well,
ageist. He's an ageist, too.
Yes. We have to move on. Other issues to talk about. We have our Week in Review quiz coming up. We'll be talking about the Bibles used in President Obama's inauguration. Plus, we're going to be asking Ed Garvey and David Blaska to lip sync the national anthem.
He gets to sing America the Beautiful.
Yeah, there we go. And we'll also talk about that public hearing, though, that was held this week in Madison, the only public hearing on this legislation that would change the permitting process to open up a mine in Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that mining hearing coming up and other issues as well as our Week in Review continues here on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Time for the Week in Review quiz. On Monday, President Barack Obama was sworn in to his second term on two different Bibles. Whose Bibles were they? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you would like to guess or if you'd like to answer, we will randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers, and you will receive a book that we featured on the program recently. So we'll announce the answer and the winner at the end of the program. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking today with David Blaska and Ed Garvey. And I will not ask you guys to lip sync the national anthem. But
I did it while you were just saying.
What was that all about anyway? That was, the thing that got the most attention from the inauguration, it seems, was the eye roll from First Lady Michelle Obama.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, apparently at a luncheon.
It's an endless loop, yeah.
At a luncheon after the actual ceremony, she was seated at the table
in between
President Obama and
John
Boehner.
Yeah.
And he was apparently telling a joke or chatting.
He probably started crying.
He tapped her on the shoulder, and she rolled her eyes. Everybody was speculating what was said. They did some media outfit hired a lip sync reader,
right.
Or a lip reader, and the answer that the lip reader said was that Boehner was asking Obama if he had a chance to have a smoke before the luncheon.
Oh yeah, they're both smokers supposedly. Yeah.
And then said, "Well, I bet you know somebody won't let you do that, right?" And he tapped Michelle Obama. So that's
Of equal importance, as far as I was concerned, was the hat that Scalia wore.
What was that? Anyway?
Well, he said he wanted to look like Thomas More, and he looked ridiculous. Alito apparently had sunglasses on, so he couldn't. Nobody could see where his eyes were going.
Well, and also you see Bill Clinton. He was ogling. That wasn't Beyonce, but the, one of the singers. Too, he's leaning out. So there's, it's we're getting worse than the British about these things, I think.
All right. Well, let's talk about something really important. It is a big deal in Wisconsin. A bill that was unveiled last week by Republicans to change the mine permitting process in the state received a public hearing on Wednesday at the state capitol. Supporters hope that it will convince a company that wants to open up a big iron mine in northern Wisconsin, in Ashland and Iron Counties, to proceed with that that application. They say that mining can be done safely and it will bring thousands of jobs to the state. Opponents say that this weakens environmental standards and it could irreparably harm the area. First, David, why just one hearing on this bill in Madison and not in the north where this mine is proposed?
There should be one in the north. I mean, I'm willing to say that, although there have been. I mean, this bill is not that much different from the one in the last session, and they had hearings up there. Yeah, I think they should have a hearing in Hurley or Ashland, someplace close by, sure. Mm-hmm. But given, yeah.
When we were fighting the transmission line from Duluth to Kansas City, we had something like seven hearings up north because that's where it was going to be held. It seems to me that the Republicans are in charge of the Assembly and the Senate and the governor's office. I don't know what they're afraid of. They ought to tell the lobbyists that they at least have to go to these hearings and let the people have some say. This mine could be the worst disaster in the history of the state, and people ought to have a pretty good idea of what it means. Instead of just saying it's going to create jobs, what kind of jobs? Where are these jobs coming from? How much are they going to pay? Are they going to be union jobs? Are they going to have benefits? What are they going to do?
Well, I can.
And how do they protect the environment?
I can answer that. First of all, and this is why they should have a hearing up in Hurley, because you had those people come down on buses and testify in favor, including the mayor or the county executive and whatnot. They said they need these jobs. They're going to. This mine is going to produce. And first of all, just imagine iron mining in Iron County. I mean, that's mind-boggling. But it's going to make 2,100 jobs. They're going to pay $82,000 a year. You saw operating engineers, I believe that's a union, at Governor Walker's State of the State, hold up the Wisconsin flag and pointing particularly to the miner on the
I'm
on
beginning
the flag.
To understand why Ron Johnson didn't sound so bad. I mean, this is ridiculous. What? Just because you name a county Iron County doesn't mean that you should open the biggest mine in the country.
Well, why doesn't it? Because the bill, Ed, does not change one single groundwater safety standard, one single air safety standard, one single drinking water standard. It's really what all it does is offer some certainty to the regulatory process.
Well,
the current process we have was in the bill was essentially a moratorium on mining. It envisions.
Not essentially, it is a moratorium.
Yes, and you don't want mining anywhere. It's an interesting
that's
thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
I think you'd be against the sand and gravel pit, right?
Well, yeah.
You would, Ed. I mean,
it depends on where it is.
And you know what, Ed? People have, you criticize Governor Walker for not creating enough jobs.
No, he's going to create 250,000 jobs.
Well, how about starting off with we can't be all selling each other memberships.
250,000 jobs.
And the good state employees of the Department of Natural Resources need something to regulate, don't they?
Well, let me ask you this. Do the tribes have anything to say about this?
Yes, they do.
What do they have to say?
Well, you know what? I think they can be talked to. I think they'll see the fact that, first of all, their rice fields or rice paddies or
and the flow of the toxics into Lake
Superior are not going to be disturbed. You know, we had
Well, you're not an expert, and I'm not an expert. We need to have experts, and we need to have hearings around the state of Wisconsin.
Well, I'm with you on the hearings, but the fact of the matter is this doesn't change any environmental standards. What it does, instead of having an open-ending process, it says you've got to get this thing resolved, at least a minimum 365-day pre-application period. The DNR has 420 days to review it. It's basically saying,
and we've said,
attend to knitting here. And
just give us one example of where a mine like this is not to cause environmental damage.
We have it in Wisconsin. We have one in. I'm looking for Amnesia that's been. Oh, by the way, they'll be looking at this thing for 40 years after the mine is closed. they'll be regulating.
There'll be whole new generations of lawyers that will.
Well, and they'll be and they'll be monitoring the groundwater and whatnot. You know, you're sowing fear here. I mean, you're worse than the NRA.
Well, very very quickly, this
shame on you.
There are enough Republicans now in the state legislature, in the state Senate specifically, Ed, that that this can pass.
Well, it can pass, but it doesn't mean the tribes are going to permit it, and the tribes have jurisdiction. So we'll see what happens in federal court.
That's right. It's going to be held up in court.
But, well, it probably will be, but at least get it through the legislature. I mean, at least get off the starting block. By the way, I'm thinking of the copper mine in Ladysmith that closed in 1997.
And it's having problems. They're still having problems.
No, it isn't. It's a new county park. It's called Copper Park. They've got a lake there, and even Judge Barbara Crabb here in federal court, I think she's semi-retired now, affirmed that the Flambeau Mining Company upheld its commitment to the Clean Water Act in its stewardship of that mine.
Well, we'll talk more about the mine as it proceeds. Also tonight on Here and Now on Wisconsin Public Television, Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Chippewa Chairman Mike Wiggins will talk about his views about the mining legislation and the mining proposal for northern Wisconsin. We had Mike Wiggins on this program this week as well. Well, let's talk a little bit now, as we're running very short on time, on the Martin Luther King Jr. ceremony and tribute, which was celebrated at the state capitol on Monday. One speech garnered a lot of national attention. It was Margaret Rosga, who was accepting the 2013 Martin Luther King Heritage Award on behalf of her late husband, the father James Grappi. And she took some apparent jabs at Governor Scott Walker. Let's take a listen.
As the widow of a man who, after we married, not only drove bus but became the president of Local 998 Amalgamated Transit Union, as a person who remembers that Martin Luther King was killed while he was working to organize sanitation workers, I know that anyone who works to curtail union rights is not in the tradition of Martin Luther King.
She went on to also thank the Solidarity Singers and the Light Brigade and some other protest groups for their efforts. Ed Garvey, what was your reaction to that?
Well, when I think of Father Grappi and I think of Dismas Becker and people who have fought for civil rights in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere, I think that she was absolutely right, that King was committed to working conditions and wages for the garbage workers in Memphis when all of this happened. He was a big supporter of the idea of collective action, so I think she was correct.
What did you think of that, David?
She's entitled to her opinion. I marched with Father Grappi back in the day, Ed.
What happened? Did you forget to turn off the road?
No, but you know, I'm still marching. You know, I pick and choose my causes, and civil rights, I believe in civil rights, but to say that the workers of the state of Wisconsin are an oppressed minority is a stretch.
All right, we have to leave it there for now. It's time to announce the winner of our weekend review quiz. Congratulations to Debbie in Laval. She correctly answered that President Barack Obama was sworn in on two Bibles, two different Bibles. They belonged to Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. President Obama was sworn in using the Bible that Abraham Lincoln used for his first inauguration and a Bible that belonged to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So, congratulations to Debbie and Laval for answering that correctly. We're just about out of time, so I think we'll leave it there. Governor Walker did announce this week that he will give his budget address on February 20th. He is going to be addressing the legislature and the public live on that evening. I'm sure we'll be carrying that address live on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll have more in-state politics coming up on our State Capitol Report coming up on Monday morning between 7 and 8. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thank you for listening. And thanks to our guests, Ed Garvey and David Blaska. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.